Listening is half the conversation. How bilingual minds are reshaping our understanding of speech disorders. Imagine sitting across the kitchen table from someone you've known for decades. They begin telling you about their day, but something has changed. Their words are slower than they once were. Some sounds are blurred together. Others seem to disappear entirely. You know the person well. You know the stories they're likely to tell and the expressions they often use. Yet despite all of that familiarity, you find yourself asking them to repeat themselves again and again. For millions of families, this is not an imagined scenario. Neurological conditions such as Parkinson's disease, stroke, and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis can lead to a speech disorder called dysarthria. People with dysarthria know exactly what they want to say, but damage to the nervous system makes it difficult to control the muscles involved in speaking. Their speech may become quieter, slower, less precise, or less rhythmic, making everyday conversations unexpectedly challenging. For decades, scientists have devoted enormous effort to helping people with dysarthria communicate more clearly. Researchers have explored therapies that strengthen speech, improve pronunciation, or make voices easier to understand. These efforts have transformed countless lives. Yet there has always been another half of the conversation that has received far less attention. What about the listener? That simple question lies at the heart of research by Professor Katarina Tetzloff of Stony Brook University and her colleagues. Rather than asking only how speakers can become more understandable, they ask whether some listeners are naturally better equipped to understand disordered speech than others. It is a subtle shift in perspective, but one with potentially profound consequences. Communication is never something one person does alone. Every conversation depends on two or more people working together. If one person struggles to produce speech, the listener becomes an active participant in filling the gaps, interpreting unclear sounds, and making sense of what they hear. Understanding why some listeners succeed more easily than others could ultimately improve communication for entire families, not just for individuals living with neurological disease. This way of thinking reflects a broader change taking place across communication science. Rather than viewing speech disorders solely as problems that belong to the speaker, researchers increasingly recognize that successful communication emerges through the interaction between speaker and listener. Every conversation is shaped by the abilities, experiences, and expectations of both people involved. This perspective becomes even more important when we consider the extraordinary diversity of the world's population. More than half of humanity speaks more than one language. In many households, switching effortlessly between languages is simply a part of everyday life. Yet, much of what scientists know about speech disorders comes from studies involving people who speak only English. This mismatch matters. If research hopes to improve communication for people around the globe, it cannot focus only on one type of speaker or listener. For instance, the people supporting loved ones with Parkinson's disease or recovering from stroke may themselves be bilingual. Their experiences, strengths, and challenges deserve to be understood just as carefully. That is precisely what motivated the study conducted by Professor Katarina Tetzloff and her collaborators. They wanted to know whether bilingual listeners process dysarthric speech differently from monolingual listeners, and whether the cognitive skills that appear to help one group are equally important for the other. At first glance, bilingual listeners seem like they might possess an advantage. Managing two languages is a remarkably sophisticated mental task. A bilingual brain is constantly selecting the appropriate language while suppressing another that remains ready in the background. This continuous juggling act has long fascinated neuroscientists and psychologists who have explored whether bilingualism strengthens certain aspects of thinking, including memory, attention, and mental flexibility. One possibility was that bilingual listeners might therefore cope especially well when speech becomes more difficult to understand. Perhaps the extra mental practice gained through managing two languages would help them interpret speech that is less clear than usual. But another possibility pointed in exactly the opposite direction. Listening is never simply about hearing sounds. As we listen, our brains are constantly predicting what words are likely to come next. Every sentence draws upon a lifetime of accumulated language experience. The larger and richer our vocabulary becomes, the more efficiently our brains can connect incomplete or distorted sounds with familiar words. For bilingual speakers, however, the situation is more complex. Their knowledge is spread across two languages rather than one. When they hear speech, both languages may become active at the same time, even if only one is actually being spoken. Instead of considering one possible word, the brain may briefly entertain several alternatives before deciding which one best fits. Under normal circumstances, this process happens astonishingly quickly. Most bilingual people move between languages with little conscious effort. But when speech itself becomes distorted, those additional possibilities could make the task of identifying words considerably harder. To explore these competing ideas, the research team recruited almost 100 adults representing three distinct language backgrounds. The first group consisted of monolingual English speakers. The second group included people who had learned both English and another language during childhood. These early bilinguals had grown up navigating two languages from an early age, although their individual experiences varied considerably. The third group consisted of late bilinguals. These participants learned English first before acquiring another language later in life, often through education or immersion in another country. Each volunteer faced the same listening challenge. They heard recordings of men with Parkinson's disease whose dysarthria affected the clarity of their speech. Rather than using ordinary sentences, the researchers deliberately chose unusual but grammatically correct phrases that made guessing difficult. Listeners could not simply rely on context to predict missing words. Instead, they had to pay close attention to what they actually heard. After each recording, participants typed exactly what they believed had been said. Alongside the listening task, they also completed assessments measuring vocabulary knowledge and working memory. Working memory refers to the brain's ability to temporarily hold and manipulate information while completing a task. Imagine mentally rearranging a shopping list or remembering several instructions while carrying them out. This ability has often been suggested as one of the mental resources that helps people cope with difficult listening situations. Previous studies involving monolingual listeners had hinted that both vocabulary and working memory might support successful understanding of dysarthric speech. The question was whether the same explanation would apply when bilingual listeners entered the picture. The results painted a far more nuanced story than anyone might have expected. Late bilinguals performed remarkably similarly to monolingual listeners. Despite speaking more than one language, they showed little difference in their ability to understand dysarthric speech used in the experiment. The early bilingual group, however, told a different story. On average, these participants found the recordings significantly more difficult to understand. Importantly, this did not mean that bilingualism itself was a disadvantage. Rather, the findings suggested that the timing and nature of language experience may shape how people process speech that has become distorted through neurological disease. The researchers looked more closely at the early bilingual group and discovered another intriguing pattern. Those who had been exposed to English at an earlier age generally understood the dysarthric speech more successfully than those whose exposure to English began later in childhood, even though everyone in the study considered themselves highly proficient or native English speakers. This finding hints at something fascinating about the developing brain. Early experiences help to shape the sound categories our brains create for recognizing speech throughout life. When speech becomes blurred or distorted, these deeply established sound patterns may become especially valuable because they allow listeners to reconstruct words even when some of the usual clues have disappeared. The study also challenged another long-standing assumption. Many researchers have believed that working memory plays a central role in helping listeners overcome degraded speech. The logic seems straightforward. If speech is difficult to understand, perhaps people with stronger working memory can hold fragments of information in mind for longer while their brains piece together the intended message. Yet, that was not what the researchers found. Across all three listener groups, working memory did not reliably predict who would understand dysarthric speech most successfully. Instead, another factor consistently stood out. Vocabulary knowledge proved to be the strongest predictor of success. This finding carries an important message because it suggests that understanding difficult speech depends less on raw mental capacity and more on the richness of a person's accumulated language experience. A larger vocabulary provides more opportunities for the brain to recognize imperfect speech signals and connect them with familiar words. In other words, successful listening may depend not only on how well our brains process information in the moment, but also on the depth of linguistic knowledge we've built over a lifetime. Yet, the study does not end with a simple comparison between different groups of listeners. Instead, it opens the door to a much broader way of thinking about communication. If listener characteristics influence how successfully conversations unfold, then helping communication partners may become just as important as helping people with speech disorders themselves. That shift has practical limitations. A spouse caring for someone with Parkinson's disease, an adult child supporting a parent after stroke, or a close friend speaking with someone living with a neurological condition may all benefit from strategies that improve listening as much as speaking. Rather than viewing communication breakdowns as the responsibility of one individual, clinicians may increasingly treat conversation as a shared activity in which both participants can learn, adapt, and improve. The findings also point toward an exciting future for rehabilitation. Previous research has shown that monolingual listeners can become significantly better at understanding dysarthric speech through targeted perceptual training. As listeners gain experience with the speech patterns of a particular speaker, their brains gradually learn to interpret signals that initially seemed confusing. This kind of adaptation can make everyday conversations less frustrating and more rewarding for everyone involved. As Professor Katarina Tetzloff explains, current research is now extending this idea to bilingual listeners. The goal is to discover whether bilingual communication partners can also benefit from perceptual training and to identify the cognitive mechanisms that support this improvement. If successful, such work could help create more inclusive therapies that reflect the linguistic diversity of the real world rather than assuming every listener shares the same language background. Perhaps the most important lesson from this research is that communication is far more than the transmission of words. Every conversation represents a partnership in which both speaker and listener bring unique experiences, abilities, and expectations. When either side changes, the conversation changes too. For people living with dysarthria, this perspective is encouraging. Improving communication may not depend solely on asking the speaker to work harder or speak more clearly. It may also involve giving listeners better tools, deeper understanding, and greater confidence in navigating speech that sounds unfamiliar. This audio is a summary of the paper, Bilingual Perception of Dysarthric Speech, in the Journal of Speech, Language, and Hearing Research. This research was supported by National Institute on Deafness and Other Communication Disorders grants, awarded to co-author Stephanie Borey at Utah State University. For further information, you can connect with Professor Katarina A. Tetzloff at katarina.tetzloff@stonybrook.edu.